So, we are performing this interview here today. It is March 8th, 2011. We're interviewing Eileen Burgess Watson, and we are in Missoula, Montana. So I would like for you to say your name.
Eileen Burgess Watson.
Okay, can you spell that? Spell Watson?
W-A-T-S-O-N?
Yeah. So, where were you born?
Helena.
And when?
1957.
Okay. And where did you grow up?
Mostly Helena and Placid Lake in the summers.
Okay. Let's see. Are you married?
Yes.
So, at what age did you marry?
I was 24.
Oh. Hmm. Is your spouse or partner also Irish heritage?
Part, yes.
Part?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any children?
Two kids. Two girls.
Two girls. And how old and what's their names?
Emily is almost 27. Wait. Yeah, and Shelley is almost 25.
Okay. So did you start having kids right after you got married?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've been married almost 30 years, so.
So you were married for a little bit before you started having kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where did you mostly grow up?
Well, I would say Helena and Placid Lake. Yeah. Kind of equal because.
Did you live at Placid Lake in the winters?
After I got married, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, I guess I should have been grown up by then, right?
Yeah.
I guess you'd say mostly Helena then.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So, what jobs have you had? Like the main jobs.
Mostly working with children, preschool education. Now I'm a nanny, so I'm still working with children. Teaching yoga, cleaning houses.
And you're a grandma now, too.
And now I'm a grandmother. Yeah.
One
grandchild who's 1 year old.
And what's his name?
Daniel.
Okay. After your, is he?
Yeah, kind of after. We have a lot of Daniels in the family.
Oh, okay.
So, my great grandfather, my grandfather.
Does the Daniel all come
my
from
brother,
outside?
Well, my great grandfather was on my mom's side. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then her dad was a Daniel also.
Oh, okay.
So, my great grandmother married a Dan.
Oh, okay.
So, that's kind of. And then they had a Daniel in their family.
I wonder if
And then my mom named her son Daniel, my brother.
Is there a lot of Daniels in Ireland?
I suppose so.
I wonder.
Oh, Danny boy? Maybe.
Oh. So do you know when your ancestors left Ireland?
Can I look at my cheat sheet?
Sure.
Well, I think my great-grandmother was born in Chicago, so, well, maybe, let's see.
Well, maybe we should talk about who your Irish ancestors are, if you name them first, or it's your mom who was Irish, right?
Right.
And what's your mom's name?
Donna Kelly Burgess.
Donna Kelly, and Kelly is spelt how?
Just a Y.
Okay. And Donna's two N's?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she was full-blood Irish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And her parents, what was their names?
Helen Marr, M-E-A-G-H-E-R.
Okay.
And her dad's name was Daniel Kelly. Daniel M. Kelly, but I don't remember what the M is.
This was mother. And father.
Oh, here it does have some information about when they came over, maybe.
Cool.
I haven't looked at this in a while.
And then do you know your great-grandparents' names?
Yep.
So your mother's mother, her parents?
Her parents were Daniel Joseph Marr. I even have his birth date here.
Okay.
He was born in 1866.
Does it have the date or just the year?
It says, does that look like 4-1, like April 1st maybe, or?
Or a 6-1. Looks like a 6 to me.
Oh yeah, 6-1-1866.
Okay, that's your mother's father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he died in 8-3-1930.
Okay, and then your mother's
the mother. Yeah, my great-grandmother's name was Elizabeth Winifred Ryan.
Winifred Ryan.
And they only show it with one N here, but I don't know if that's true.
Okay. Winifred like, with one N.
And it's like, well, Sid wrote this down, so I don't know if it's right, but... It says W-I-N-E... F-R-E-D.
Okay.
I don't know if that's right.
Okay.
Let's see. She came to Helena in 1888, it says. Or maybe they both did.
Okay, and then do you have her birthday?
I don't right here. Well, we can get that from my mom, probably.
Sure. And then do you have your mother's father's name? No, wait a minute. Mother's mother's
father. We already got that.
Father. Mother's mother's mother. Okay, then we go to your father's father's.
My mother? We're only talking about the Irish side, so that'd be my mom. My mom's dad's parents' names.
Yeah.
Wait, my mom's...
Well, then we go to your grandfather, Dan Kelly, and who was his parents' names.
You know, maybe I only have the information on the Marr side, because... That was the side I was really interested in for looking into, and but I think I know that he was from. Well, I know he was from Iowa. I think both he and he was from a farming family in Iowa.
Okay.
And then with a lot of kids.
Okay, looks so like that's something to be researched, so you don't know that. Okay. So, do you know any of the stories about any of these Irish ancestors coming from Ireland to America?
I don't really. Other than that they came from County Tipperary.
Okay, that
Her parents... Their names were William Ryan and Catherine Canally.
Oh, okay. So these are the ones that came from Ireland. William Ryan and Catherine. Is it with a C or a K?
A K.
Catherine.
And it looks like... Can you read Canally?
Oh. Okay. Tom, County Tipperary. Okay.
And I think the Kelly side, they were from Cork, maybe, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Do you know anything about their lives in Ireland?
From Killalo, if you want to know the town name, it was K-I-L-L-A-L-O.
Killalo, Tipperary?
Okay. In County Tipperary. And it's, yeah, it's on a lake that we actually went to when we were there.
Oh, you did? I'll ask you later about your trip to Ireland.
Okay. I have the names of her father's siblings and her mother's siblings. Oh wow, there's a Tobin in there. That's where we're connected to Ann Powers' family, because in the...
Do you think you're related to Ann Powers?
Yeah, we are.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
They're related to Tobins, and yeah, we have cousins that are the same.
Oh, from all the way back in Ireland.
I'm talking about some of our cousins in Helena that we share.
But the connection goes back to Ireland?
It must, I suppose.
Isn't that?
I don't know.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, it looks like one of my great-grandmother's sisters married a Tobin, I guess.
One of your great-grandmother's sisters?
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is...
So did you celebrate with those people in Helena?
What do you mean?
Like, if they were family, did you do family stuff with them?
The Powers?
Yeah.
Mainly because we were neighbors right across the street, and then we also had cabins across from each other at the lake.
So it was.
And then I grew up with Anne, yeah, as a friend more.
Was it more like a friend and not really like relatives?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, we knew that we had cousins in common.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about any of your relatives' lives in Ireland? You ever hear any stories?
You know, not really, because great-gram, I think, was born in Chicago.
Okay.
And it looks like Gramps was from there too, because, it says Daniel Joseph Marr's parents were John Marr, who was born in 1828. He went to New Orleans in 1846, so that must be, that was like during the potato famine, wasn't it?
So John Marr came from Ireland, you think?
To New Orleans, yeah, in 1846, I think. Oh, and Ellen Hurley, his mother, came from Cork.
And his mother, what was her name?
Ellen Hurley. Looks like H-U-R-L-Y.
Came from Cork. Okay.
And then he had, there were five kids, and one of them died in the fire in Chicago, that big fire.
Oh, wow. Did you ever get told that story?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Did you ever get told any stories about your relatives living in Chicago?
Not really. I just remember, just have a vague memory of them talking about the fire, but not... I wasn't directly told by great-gram, because I was pretty little when she died.
Okay.
But I did get to meet her, luckily. Mostly I remember her wearing black all the time and giving us lemon drops.
Okay, so let's see. So this was your great-grandma.
Yeah.
So you got to meet your great-grandma.
Elizabeth Winifred Ryan Marr.
And?
She lived in Helena. She was a school teacher at the little red schoolhouse that is outside of town somewhere.
Yeah. So, how old were you when she died?
I was, let's, does it say her? I think I was probably 4 or 5.
And you do remember meeting him at all. So what do you remember?
Like I said, just that she wore black a lot, and
Do you remember going
and she
to her
gave us
house?
lemon drops. Yeah, I do. She actually lived with one of her daughters, Kay Flynn, and they lived on that little street in Helena that's only about one block long called Washington Place.
Oh,
It's
okay.
right by the post office, kind of,
Okay. Huh.
on the west side. And we have a picture of her sitting in my dad's sports car.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. He used to have a little Austin Healey, and it's a convertible, and she was sitting in the car surrounded by all her great grandchildren. I
How
have a
many?
picture. Well, not all of them, but there were a couple of us in there with her. I think I was too little, they didn't let me climb in there with her, but
Oh,
yeah,
cute.
we have a picture of her with some of us kids,
Oh,
my
neat.
Hanrahan cousins. And
How old do you think she was?
oh, and here's a picture of her right here. But how old? Oh, she died, I think, at age 97.
Oh, she lived old.
Pretty old for them.
So this is
She never drank or smoked.
Elizabeth Winifred. And this is your mother?
That's my grandmother.
This is your great
This is
grandma.
great-grand. That's her daughter.
And her daughter's
Who
name
is,
was
that's Helen Kelly. Helen
Helen
Marr.
Marr. And this would be your
That's Daniel Joseph Marr.
that's the great
grandfather.
grandfather. And these are sisters? Oh,
Yeah, they had three
daughters?
girls.
Okay. And what's their names?
And this is Alice, who was known as Sammy for some reason. I think maybe her middle name was Samantha. She married a guy named Clarence Becquar, and they lived in California.
Did you meet her ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then this was the one I knew best of the sisters anyway. She lived in Helena, Catherine Marr, and she married James Flynn.
Oh, okay. So you remember her. Do you remember anything about her? Stories about her?
I have some articles about her because she was an opera singer in
Oh.
New York City for a little while, and yeah, I remember her pretty well. We used to visit her a lot. She lived longer than my grandmother.
Oh.
So I knew her pretty well, yeah.
So she was an important figure.
Kind of the matriarch of.
Yeah. So what do you remember about her?
Well, she loved to sing, and she was kind of, well, she was just really proper in a way, but also funny. And one of my strongest memories of her right now, I guess, is when she was probably 89 or something, and she took a cane, and we were having one of our little family sing-alongs around the piano, and she started singing and doing a little dance with her cane and saying, "This is probably my swan song."
Oh, really? Oh, cute.
Yeah, it was great.
So does everybody like to sing in the family?
My mom, not really. She doesn't think she can carry a tune. And that side of the family, my mom's actual siblings and mom, and they weren't all that musical, but the cousins that we hung out with were, yeah,
Oh.
a lot more musical.
Did you ever remember doing any Irish music or songs?
Yeah, we probably did Danny Boy and, some of the, but mostly it was just old-time American.
Americans, yeah.
I'm trying to remember some of the songs. I don't really even can't recall them right now, but I knew the words, and I would be able to sing along with most of them.
Well, you sing pretty good.
I like to sing. I
Yeah.
don't really think I sing very good, but I sing. I like to sing.
You like to
Not really
dance.
in public. Unless there's a big group of us.
So, Let's see. Do you know anything about your family name? The Irish family name?
Mara or Kelly or mm-hmm. either one, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think it used to be Omar and O'Kelly.
Oh, is that right?
I think most of the names over there, they had an O in front of them.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but... what do you mean? I don't really know.
Well, I think some people kind of know that their name came from a certain area in Ireland or maybe has a certain meaning.
Uh-huh.
But
well, I think the Kellys were from Cork mainly. I think I've heard that, but I'm not even sure about that.
Okay.
And I know, well... As far as Thomas Francis Marr goes, which I'm not even absolutely sure we're related to him, but they were invited to the unveiling of his statue as guests of honor and Helena. And,
do you want to tell that story?
I don't really know anything other than that my great-grandmother used to ask them to polish the statue every once in a while. She would, but she was also kind of embarrassed that they were related to him because he was such a drinker and she didn't drink.
Oh. And she's the one that wore black all the time.
Yeah, but you know, maybe that was because maybe she was still in mourning or I don't know. How long did they stay in mourning?
Well, my great aunt used
you
to wear
told
black
me
all the time.
That's
she
right.
was a suffragette.
Oh.
And she didn't drink either. She was really against drinking.
Yeah, I think my great grandma was too, but the rest of the family. Anything goes, pretty much.
It's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's see. So let's talk about, I guess, about you for a little bit. What are some of your favorite childhood memories? Like, did you have games that you played or sing certain songs? What toys did you play with? Did you make any yourself? And how did you make them? Does that...
Excuse me, we had a lot of... Well, I mean, we grew up in a neighborhood in Helena that had tons of kids.
Oh.
A lot of Catholic families all around us. Even though my mom was Catholic, my dad wasn't, so we only had four kids. And but a lot of the families around us, like the Powers, had eight, I think, and maybe only six. The Funks up the street had 13 or something. They had... when they moved, the mom was pregnant again, so it was big families. And so some of the fun things we did was my friend Anne, who was also kind of my cousin, her older sister Mary Pat and my sister Sydney and Meg Harper's sister Amy gathered all the kids in the neighborhood together and put on plays. And so we have movies of...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like we did The Sound of Music.
You're kidding me.
In Ann Power's garage.
Oh, fun.
Invited all the neighborhood, and yeah, we would charge them to get in, or, you know, 10 cents or whatever, and had chairs all set up in Ann's driveway. And then in the winter, we did plays up in their attic, or they're up in their third floor, which was like a ballroom.
Oh, wow.
In Power's house. They had one of the big old mansions in Helena.
Wow, that must have been...
We put on Scrooge or whatever. What was it called? American... Or no, The Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
The one about Scrooge.
So what part did you play? Do you remember?
In that one, I was pretty little. And I remember there were also other skits involved with it where everybody would stand in a row and spell out the word Christmas and say a little poem about each letter or something. And so I wasn't really in that play, but in the
Were you on the Sound
little
of Music?
Skit. And then in the Sound of Music, I was the littlest girl.
Yeah. You were?
Uh-huh.
Oh, cute.
And my brothers were stagehands, so they were up in the rafters of the garage throwing snow down or doing lightning, thunder sounds and stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah, cool. But Sid and Mary Pat and Amy were all the directors. And I remember one little girl was one of the nuns, and she forgot her lines and burst into tears. So we have that all on film. It's kind of funny, but...
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
And then, so you memorized the song you had to sing for being the littlest girl. Or you had to sing with the group.
Yeah, we all had. Yeah.
All fun. Wow. That's one of my favorite movies.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
Wow. Huh.
And then, we also had a singing group with Ann Power and Meg Harper and Lori Ormsapp. Starting in about second grade till fifth grade, we had a singing group. We were called the Supersonic Sounds.
Really?
And we used to put on little performances with, one of the events that we performed at was a high school hootenanny.
Really?
At the Catholic high school, because my sister was going there and she got us in or something and arranged it. And we used to sing songs like Leaving on a Jet Plane and do you remember that?
Yes. I used to leave on a jet plane all the time.
And Sloop John B. and Much to Our Mother's Dismay, we sang that one about there is a house in New Orleans. They call it the Rising Sun.
Oh.
It's been the ruin of many poor boy.
Oh, I love that song.
And I didn't even know what it was about, but we thought it was very cool. We had a couple guitars. One time we threw an auction to raise money to buy a guitar, and we brought all our mom's old stuff they were getting rid of. Well, I took my mom's unbeknownst to
her. Between second and fifth grade?
Mm-hmm.
You guys were
an auction.
Entrepreneurs or whatever. Enterprising.
I took all her collection of National Geographics and brought them to sell, and she had to buy them back because she really wanted them. And anyway, we made $13 and went down immediately, marched down to the music store in Helena and bought a guitar for $13.
Wow.
And then
who actually played the guitar?
Ann and Meg both did guitar, I think, and I had a ukulele, and we played a gut bucket too. We had just a homemade wash tub turned upside down with a broom handle and a string.
Wow.
Kazoos sometimes, homemade.
So when you guys get together now, you still play?
Yes, we do.
That is so neat. What a great memory. Oh.
Yeah, in fact, we were going to hit it big. We were going to make the big time because my dad was going to take us to L.A. and play on this show called Happening 68. It was like a talent show, and it was on TV, and we got all the information sent to us, and we had uniforms. We had our moms make us uniforms, and then two of the girls moved away. Lori moved to Fargo, Bismarck, North Dakota, and then Meg moved to South America, Colombia.
Oh, so are those people entertainers now? Did this carry through in their lives?
Well, Meg loves to sing. She still sings in her church all the time. But
Wow.
No, none of us made a profession out of it.
Oh, you could have almost.
No, so
that's
we just love
neat.
To get together and sing.
What else?
The last time we got together was Anne's 50th birthday in Portland, and we performed a couple numbers for this huge party that her husband threw for her.
Oh, neat.
But we were way off to it was funny though, because one of the girls, I think it was Meg, had this album cover made with our picture on it from when we were in our group when we were like 10 years old.
Did you each get copies of that album cover?
No.
Just Anne did?
I think just Anne has it, yeah.
Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was, we were a pretty lively bunch growing up in Helena.
I guess. Huh.
We had a clubhouse at Anne's house. Her dad was in the moving van business, so I think he did Mayflower moving or something, and so he had this old Mayflower moving van trailer truck thing that was in their backyard, and they turned it into a playhouse, and for a while it was our library. We had our own library where we'd check out books to each other, and then for a while it was a monkeys fan club. And then for a while it was a secret agent club.
Neat.
We used to follow people around our neighborhood and spy on them and say, oh, they must be up to something. She wears a long black raincoat and he carries a black briefcase and wears a big hat and sunglasses, so he must be up. We read a lot of Nancy Drew books. So
looking for
the mysteries and everything, yeah.
Oh, wow. Neat. Huh. Let's see. So... can you describe a day in the life in your home growing up?
Boy, it seems like we were always going up to at home,
mm-hmm.
or what we did for
at home,
what?
In the house, like the smells and what that day would be like. What did you do when you first got up, or what did you do when you went to bed? Or,
well, we were in Helena usually when we were in school, so, but once school got out, we moved to the lake. Mom just wanted to get us out of town, keep us out of trouble, I guess. But yeah, after school we wouldn't have dinner together because Dad was always working late, and he was a doctor, so he was usually either making rounds at the hospital or doing house calls. Or
so you didn't see a lot of him.
No, he would usually come home around 7 or so, and sometimes we'd still be around the dinner table, so he would come in and join us.
Okay. So you remember mostly dinner, so you don't remember much, like, in the morning. Did you have chores to do?
Oh, yeah, I had to make my bed and keep my room picked up and load my dishes in the dishwasher. And yeah, I mean, we didn't have it. Well, we'd feed the dog, and I guess we did. We always had a dog. Yeah, mostly I remember, well, let's see, I had piano lessons for a little while, but since they were on Saturdays, I had to quit after a while because we always went skiing on Saturdays. We'd go up to Belmont.
Okay. So you remember doing family stuff like skiing and then at the lake?
Going to the lake, and then Dad would come up there on his day off or in on weekends, but otherwise it was just Mom and us kids.
Okay. So do you have good memories of your mom and your dad?
Yeah.
I mean, you got, even though your dad was a doctor, you still got to spend time with him.
Yeah. Yep. I guess I have one really good memory of just me, just a one-on-one day with him when, I don't know, we drove out to check on his cows. He used to have cows out in the valley, and then he took me to this really old cemetery, and I thought it was really cool, so I was making those rubbings on the headstones.
Hmm.
It's a really neat old cemetery outside of Helena.
Hmm.
I just remember that being a real special day because it was kind of one of our only one-on-one days.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. And how old were you?
Maybe 14 or something.
Okay. Oh.
I don't know.
Hmm.
That's a wild guess.
That's about the time it'd be really cool to be doing rubbing etchings on headstones.
At that age.
I would have really liked that.
Yeah. And I don't know, I guess one of my best one-on-one memories with my mom was when I was about 17, and I actually was kind of getting in too much trouble in Helena, so they didn't ask me to move out, but I wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to get out of Helena. So It was either, I could either go live with my sister in Missoula or live with my aunt and uncle in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided Missoula was a little too close, so I went to Maryland to live, and Mom took me out there, and we had a real special night where we got all dressed up and went out to dinner, just the two of us, and and went to this really neat jazz club and listened to music, and I felt like she really treated me like a grown-up that night. So it was like
a
real special memory.
So what was it like being at Placid Lake with the family?
I guess my memories there are, well, we were just always in the lake swimming and water skiing, and but some of my best memories were when it was really stormy on the lake and we'd be inside with a fire and Mom would be reading to us from books like Swiss Family Robinson, or what else did she read us, like Wind in the Willows, or...
And that's when the whole family was together.
Yeah.
I mean, more than in town.
Yeah, I think we did probably spend more time together at the lake.
Oh, that's neat.
Because there wasn't anything else to do, really. That's why they took us up there, probably.
Great idea. So can you tell me about the place at Placid Lake?
Well, my grandmother on Dad's side, they were from Missoula, kind of. I mean, Wolf Point, and then Glasgow, and then Missoula. And Grammy really loved to fish. And my grandpa loved to golf. So he wasn't really into the idea of having a place at the lake, but somehow Grammy talked him into it. And so in 1943, they built a cabin up there. And so we started going up. I started going up from a baby onward, and we started living up there in the summers, probably when I was probably 8 or 10 or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So now, are you the youngest in your family?
Mm-hmm.
And how many siblings do you have?
3.
And what's their names?
Sydney's the oldest. My sister is, now she's 61. Kelly is my brother, the next oldest. He's probably 59. And then David is 3 years older than me, so 56 almost.
Oh, okay. And then go ahead and say what your parents' names are, because I don't think we did that.
Oh, yeah. Donna Kelly Burgess.
Okay.
And John Ralph Burgess.
Okay.
He was born in Wolf Point, and Mom was born in Butte.
Okay. Let's see. Did you ever meet your mom's dad?
No, I didn't get to meet either one of my grandfathers.
Okay. They both had passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you ever get to go to that house in Butte?
One time I went there with a girlfriend, like, after I was married and had kids, and we just knocked on the door and said, my mom used to live here. Do you think we could have a tour?
Did they give you a tour?
Yeah, and luckily, because it was just the kids that were home, and it was, like, this really big family that was living there at the time. They had, like, 8 kids or something. At first they hesitated, and then we finally talked them into it, so I did get to see the house.
So what did that feel like to you?
It was pretty cool. I mean, they were working on it, so it was kind of in a state of disarray in a way, but it still had a really awesome stained glass window, I remember, on the landing, on the stairway, and high ceilings. And I just remember Mom's story about there was a fireplace in every room, and her room had stars and planets painted on the ceiling.
Were they still there?
I don't think so.
Okay, but you checked.
I
would have checked.
Yeah.
So you knew which one was her room?
No.
Oh, you didn't
I
know for sure.
Wasn't.
Okay.
And I don't remember if they really showed us all the bedrooms.
Oh, okay.
I think they were worried they were going to get in trouble from their parents for letting these two ladies and total strangers into the house.
Oh. Do you want to go back?
I do
that again?
Yeah. Because they've been fixing it up since then.
Who owns it now?
I don't know. Their names. Mom might know.
So you do know who was your great grandfather?
Daniel Joseph Marr?
No. Your mom's dad?
That was my grandpa, and he was named Daniel Kelly.
Daniel Kelly. And he was what at Anaconda Company?
He was their attorney, but then he became the vice president.
Okay. And do you know what his wife did?
My grandmother, Helen. She was a school teacher in Helena for a while, too. And actually, Daniel Kelly was a school teacher when he first came to Montana, too.
Oh,
before
really?
He became a lawyer.
Oh.
He was a school teacher in White Sulphur Springs, I think.
Okay.
But then she was a school teacher at this school. Mom just told me this the other day, at a school that's now underneath Canyon Ferry Reservoir.
Really? And do you have a picture of her?
This is her.
So this is, who is this again?
That's Helen. That's Mom's mom.
Oh, that's your mom's
Helen
mom.
Helen Kelly. Yeah.
Helen Kelly, okay.
But her mom was also a school teacher in Helena at the Little Red Schoolhouse that's
okay.
still there.
Okay. All right. Okay.
If we go to the lake, I could show you a picture of her at her. She went back to her school that she taught at when there were still kids going there. It was like a one-room school right outside of Helena.
Okay.
And I think it's on the Bird's Eye Road, maybe.
Oh, huh.
And anyway, the kids honored her as a former teacher of the school, you know, just did a little presentation for her or something. And so there's a picture of her with all the kids, and she was at least 80 then, or
oh wow,
or maybe 90.
I have family that lived up at Bird's Eye.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they knew her.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Okay, so let's see. So you don't know anything about, let's see, I might be getting mixed up. Daniel Kelly's wife
was my grandmother, Helen. But then, see, this is the confusion probably, is it?
I was thinking.
He's a Daniel also.
Okay.
But his daughter, my grandmother, married a Daniel. But
okay.
They're not, you know, they
all
weren't.
Right. Okay.
There's just,
all right.
This was a Marr. And then she married a Kelly.
Okay.
These are all Marrs. And then
okay.
She married a Kelly, she married a Flynn, she married a
okay.
Becquar.
I'm mixed up.
It might be because there's two Daniels. I don't know. And then you get the generations mixed up. And
So your great-grandfather was a teacher, and then...
No. That's my grandfather, Daniel Kelly.
Daniel Kelly. Okay, Daniel Kelly, your mom's dad was
mm-hmm.
a teacher
and then
an attorney and then...
Vice president
of... And would he have worked in Butte for the Anaconda Company, or did he have to drive to Anaconda to work for them? I mean, I have no idea about all that history.
I get mixed up too because
I just ran out, so I'm not on there anymore.
Hmm. They lived in Butte, and where Anaconda was based, I think, was Butte, Anaconda Copper. But then the smelter was in Anaconda, so
okay.
I don't know what that means, but I think they were headquartered in Butte, even though they were called Anaconda Copper.
Okay. So that's your
sure.
mom's dad. And mm-hmm. then your mom's...
Granddad.
Your mom's mom's
These are,
dad. And he, who was he again? What, you said he, what did he do in Helena?
He was the first lapidary in Helena.
And you know when that would have been?
He came to Helena in 1888, this says. Or wait. No, that's when Elizabeth Winifred Ryan came to Helena in 1888. But since he was from It looks like he was from Chicago too, so maybe they came together. I don't know. I need to ask Mom more about this stuff.
Yeah. But he was the first lapidary, so did he have a jewelry store in Helena?
I think so. She has some of his... I think she has a ring that he made, or...
Okay.
Or something that he made.
Okay. So I wonder if the store was still standing.
Oh, I don't know that. Their house is, though.
Their house is? So where was their house at?
The corner of Rodney and State Street.
Okay.
There's a picture of it.
Sure, here. Let's see the picture.
Well, and I have a photo of it on my computer, too. I just took a photo the other day.
Okay, well, this is...
That's the back of it. It was a one story in the front and two stories in the back. And Governor Toole lived there.
Wow.
I think it was his house originally. See, it talks about the first...
The first Governor Toole home. 1884. So what is the house now?
It's apartments.
Okay, it's not a bed and breakfast. It's a
no, it's
apartments.
Really run down.
Okay.
It's so sad.
Okay. Well, cool.
But supposedly it has 14-foot ceilings, and it would have the first plumbing of the whole town, the first indoor bathroom in the whole town, they said.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just a brick house on the corner of State.
Well, they must
Rodney.
Have been pretty well-to-do if they got a house, one of the first houses with plumbing.
Well, I think Governor Toole had it first.
Okay, so it was the first plumbing for him.
Yeah, and by the time they moved into it, maybe plumbing was more common, but I don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Okay. And then so he was a lapidary, and his wife...
Was a school teacher,
was a
although
school teacher.
I don't know if she was once she got married or not.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe.
Let's see. Do you think any of your religious practices were passed down from your family?
They were definitely Irish Catholic, and they tried to pass it down.
So
I call myself a recovering Catholic, but no, it's... Mom raised us in the Catholic Church pretty much until I was 12. Then I decided I wasn't going to have anything to do with it anymore.
Oh, really? That's pretty
mm-hmm.
young to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because...
Because Dad wasn't Catholic, so that was in my favor, in a way, you
oh,
know.
Well, I don't know how families are, you know, set up, husband and wife, and it sounds like the kids were raised with Catholics, so your mom must have had more say than your dad?
Well, or she was just more devout about her religion, I guess. Yeah, she would go to church every Sunday.
And you think that was passed down?
And well,
Irish
we,
part.
Oh yeah.
So why? Can you explain that? How that was passed down through her Irish family?
Well, I think the church is everything to the Irish Catholics, isn't it? Pretty central to their.
I think so.
Life.
But I just wonder if you know how to talk about it more.
I don't really.
So her know. Did her mom and her dad go to church all the time too, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
They
I'm
did?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you celebrate Irish holidays?
St. Patrick's Day, I guess, but that's not even that big of a deal over there in Ireland, I don't think, but well, you know, all the holy days. I guess some of those might have some Irish history. We didn't necessarily celebrate, but like we had to do the Lent thing where you have to give up something for Lent. And Fridays we ate fish, no meat. Yeah, I can't really think of any other...
But you did celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Well,
was that just pretty much like everybody did, or did you do something special because you were
Irish?
Well,
I think Mom usually made corned beef and cabbage.
And you wore green?
Mm-hmm. Like everybody else in Helena, but whether they were Irish or not, yeah.
Do you know who St. Patrick was?
Well, I've heard he's the guy that chased the snakes out of Ireland, so-called snakes. Which
oh, really?
I think,
I can't remember.
I think it really meant the heathens or the people who were pagans.
The pagans. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Which is why I kind of have mixed feelings about celebrating him, you know? And then it turns into green beer and getting as drunk as you possibly can. I don't know where that, how that got so twisted, but. You know, that's what I found out later, that the snakes, I think, were the pagan religion, pagan people.
Oh, that's interesting.
And druids probably too, you know, which aren't druids and paganism kind of connected? Or
I think so.
Worshipping nature and trees. And
fairies, leprechauns.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I believe in magic. I'll tell you what, when we went to Ireland, I definitely believed in that kind of thing there. It's just...
Why?
You have to go there to find that.
Really?
To feel that, yeah.
You could feel it.
Oh, yeah. Really magical.
So tell me about your trip to Ireland. When did you do that?
It was in 2004. Just my husband and I went over and visited a friend of mine, a girlfriend that married an Irish musician. She was actually from Lake Placid, New York.
Oh.
But we met it in Big Fork. We worked in a Mexican restaurant up there together, and I was from Placid Lake and she was from Lake Placid, so we had that in common. And anyway, after she married the musician, we were always trying to figure out how I could get over there, and finally we made the trip.
And how long did you stay?
I stayed there about 3 weeks, and Gordon was there for 2 weeks. It was really fun.
So did you look up where your ancestors lived?
Yeah, in fact, well, I took some baskets over there to sell at an art fair that Lori was in, because Lori makes jewelry, and the art fair that we were in was right on the lake where my great-grandmother was from.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. It's really cool. And then, well, we stayed in the hotel that used to be Thomas Francis Marr's house.
Wow.
And when I went to the desk and said, or my husband said, do we get a discount if we're related to Marr? They were like, sure.
Oh, they were.
Maybe it was a discount.
Oh, cool.
But it was funny because we'd reserved the room online, and they didn't have any record of it.
But they still found your room.
So we went there and they were like, we do have one room left.
Oh, that was lucky.
And it was on the 6th floor, I think. And I did not sleep one wink that night because it felt like I had bed bugs all over me or something. I was just like itchy all night. And it was the last room they had twin beds. So Gordon did not feel this at all.
Oh.
But I felt like, And then in the morning I could not see any evidence of bug bites or anything on me, but when I told Lori's husband Michael, the Irish musician guy, what happened, he was like, that was your uncle trying to reach you, contact
cool.
you.
Do you think so?
I have a pretty open mind that way.
So you think so?
I don't know. I like to think so.
Yeah. I would. So did you...
Like, wake up. I'm still here.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't know.
So did you try to find any cemeteries or other houses?
No, but we were in Waterford when we went to that hotel, which is now a Best Western, but it it's where he was born, supposedly.
Oh, wild.
And it was a really neat old place. And there were pictures all around that of him. And, you know, there were still little sitting rooms in this hotel where there were books that could have been his, for all I know, you know, like really old books, and a painting that looked like it could have been portraits of his parents, but it didn't say.
Oh, huh.
And then, you know, he had a pic, there was a picture of him, well, lots of pictures of him in the lobby, and pictures of what the house used to look like. So maybe, I think it was the same building, but I'm not sure. Oh, and it had probably been added on to or something. And then, and Waterford had just recently built a statue for him, of him riding his horse.
Okay.
So they had just unveiled it like maybe 2 weeks before we got there.
Oh, wow.
So Gordon took my picture with that, and then we went to the house where it was called Widow McCormick's Cottage or something like that, or Widow, where the uprising of 1848 was started by him and his buddies.
Oh, wow.
And they just recently turned the cottage into a visitor center and had a big grand opening of it, like also 2 weeks before we got there or something. So, but that was pretty interesting to see where, and I always had pictured that place where the uprising started. I always thought, well, the people from Ireland must have been in the cottage fighting off the British soldiers or whatever, but it was actually Widow McCormick's cottage, and she had her children in there, and supposedly the police kind of commandeered the cottage, and they were fighting the people from in the cottage. And anyway, it was just kind of the opposite of what I imagined.
Oh, wow. So you, like, found out the truth.
Drawings of the people fighting the British soldiers with pitchforks outside the cottage.
Oh.
And, you know, because they were starving, and the British weren't helping them.
Oh, wow. Huh. So what was that like for you to find that out? Or to be there?
It was really cool, really interesting. And there was actually a picture of the statue in Helena in that visitor center. So it had a picture of the Capitol with Mar on the horse.
Oh.
And I think it had I think it was at the grand unveiling of the statue. So my grandparents and great-grandparents were in that picture probably.
Oh.
Although I couldn't really see them. It was just a big crowd of people around it.
Oh, neat. Yeah. You were there so soon after. Did you plan that to go then? It just happened that way.
No, and we didn't even know that had happened, or
they were going to celebrate that. Oh, huh.
And my friend Michael lived really close to where that all happened, so he was really up on the history of that, and people over there really honor him, and they really respect him, and he was like introducing me to everybody, saying, this is an ancestor of Thomas Francis Marr.
So why do they respect him?
Because he rebelled against the queen and the English rule.
Oh.
And then he was arrested and, you know, tried for treason, and he was sentenced to be hanged, drawn, and quartered.
Okay.
But I think his dad had a friend in the Irish government that pulled some strings so that he would only be sentenced to life in Tasmania instead. So he got banished to Tasmania.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know how many years he was there. That's that island off of Australia.
And this was after he came to Montana?
Mm-mm.
No.
Before.
So then how did he get from Tasmania to Montana?
He escaped on a ship somehow. He swam out to a ship that was going to New York.
Oh, huh.
But meanwhile, I mean, he was there for 15 years or something. He had a house on a lake.
In Tasmania.
Yeah, there's a picture. So it
wasn't,
really
wasn't
a
in
prison.
Jail. He just was on an island that he couldn't.
And he
get
actually
on.
Had a wife and a kid while he was there.
Wow. And you guys think you're related to him?
Yeah, well, That's what I've always been told.
You've always been told that. That'd be fun to trace it back.
Mm-hmm.
Have to do that show on TV, Ancestor.com.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe we're not. Maybe it's all a big fantasy.
Oh, that would. Who knows? We need to make sure, you know, find out for sure.
Yeah. Well, there is the Helena connection, and I don't know. It's just a possibility.
I don't know if you can tell me anything else about Ireland, about your trip.
Well, we went to a lot of pubs. Our friend Michael, his name is Michael Piper Cooney, because he plays the Uilleann pipes, and he's won many All-Ireland championships. Like, he's probably won 3 of them in Uilleann pipes. And so he had a lot of gigs while we were there, and so we would sometimes travel on our own for a few days and then meet up with them at another concert or gig that he was doing in a pub and or a session.
Wow.
And then we would travel, you know, then we go to their house for a couple of days, and then we meet him up again, or, you know, travel on our own again for a couple of days, and then meet him in another town. And so we traveled up and down the West Coast.
So did it seem like music and sharing beer was important?
Yeah, definitely.
Do they get drunk there?
Oh, the people, our friends drank a lot.
Oh. Okay, so that is part of the culture.
And they smoked a lot, too. It was hard staying in their house with them, because I would just keep our bedroom door shut so it wouldn't be smoky, but anyway.
Okay. So it's...
But yeah, they would stay up till 4 in the morning drinking, and we were like, we can't do this, sorry. We got to go to bed.
Then did they work? Or they were musicians?
Yeah, he was a carpenter, and she had a job. I'm trying to remember where, but like a greenhouse kind of job or something.
Okay, so they did regular jobs and
mm-hmm.
did this other stuff on the weekends and at night.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Huh. Hmm. I don't know. Do you know any superstitions, or did your family carry any superstitions from Ireland?
Hmm. You know, I can remember my grandmother probably had some, but I don't remember what they were exactly.
Okay.
I do remember one thing she taught, she always tried to instill in me, was to think before you speak. And I don't always do that.
So when you don't, you go, oh, and then you remember.
Yeah, you think of your grandmother.
What does your Irish heritage mean to you?
I've always felt a strong connection to that, more so than any of the other kids in our family. I don't know why, but when I hear the music, the traditional music from there, I feel like I've always known it, or I just feel such a pull.
Really?
And just going to Ireland, it felt like going home.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it was really odd. And
oh, how neat.
Really magical, and yeah, very cool. And dance, too, I feel like. Sometimes I feel like I could, you know, I feel like the type of dance they do, even though I've never learned it, would be familiar to me, or, you know.
You like that beat and that spark.
Mm-hmm. And when I go to Butte, I just feel a really strong pull there, too. The
Irish.
Do? Yeah.
You feel like you're at home, huh?
Sort of, but no, in a way not, because it seems like all we went there for were funerals for a while, and then a few weddings here and there, but a lot of funerals.
Oh.
I don't know. And my mom was always going to take me to Columbia Gardens, that really cool, what would you call it?
Amusement park. Did you go there?
And I never got there, and then destroyed it, got burned down, and...
Oh, no. I had to go once.
Did you?
Yeah.
You remember it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's right before it burned down.
And you know the rumor that supposedly the Anaconda Company burned it.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Such a tragedy.
Yeah, it was so important to the people in Butte and the children and having
mm-hmm.
such a wonderful thing to take a free bus out to every week.
mm-hmm.
Let's see. Do you know if your family ever experienced any repression from the Ku Klux Klan or for being Catholic?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Like once they were in the U.S., you mean? Or?
Mm-hmm. Like in Butte. Like, I don't know. They wanted us to ask about the Ku Klux Klan thing.
I can imagine that happening more in Chicago, maybe, than Butte, but I don't know. Really? So there were KKK people in Butte?
Mm-hmm. Did you ever cook much Irish food in your family?
No, other than Mom would make
corned beef and cabbage
sometimes, but...
No, hot
I learned how to make Irish soda bread as an adult, you know, because I was really interested in anything Irish, so yeah. But that's about all I make that's Irish.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I know you have some mementos and scrap photos here. I'll take pictures of those when we're all done.
Up at the lake is where we have a lot more
in
the articles and stuff.
Let's see.
And I also have pictures from Ireland of the visitor center that was in the...
Oh, that'd be good to take pictures.
Little McCormick's cottage and then the statue of Mar. I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
Kitty.
Do you know any of the stories about how your grandparents met and married?
No, other than, like, Dan Kelly was married to someone named Lillian at first, and she died. And so then he married Nana, Helen, kind of late in life. I mean, like, he was maybe 40 and she was 30 or something.
Okay.
And then they had 5 children, I guess. And I don't know how they met. But I think they were both from Iowa originally.
Well, I think there's a big Irish community from a certain town in Iowa.
Huh.
So I'm sure.
Yeah, I know there's still a lot of Kellys in Iowa that Mom went to a family reunion there once that.
Okay.
She got to see a lot of her cousins or something.
Yeah, when Dave Emmons came and talked to the class, his last book was called The Irish Beyond the Pale.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Which means the Irish in the West. And most of the Irish in the West are, you know, I think came to like bigger cities and they were Catholic Irish. And where most of the people that moved West, I guess, were Protestants. So there's certain towns where there was a higher percentage of Irish Catholics that moved, and there I think there's one of them that he wrote about was in Iowa. I think. So.
Mm-hmm. You can push the kitty down if you want.
Probably get the purring on the tape, huh?
She loves you.
Probably. Yeah.
Get down, kitty.
Well, is there anything you can think of that you wanna say on this recording? Anything I didn't ask you or that you think it'd be important to share a story about? you would like it to be recorded, even if it's not, has anything to do with your Irish heritage?
No, other than, well, one of my really good memories of Nana, Helen Kelly, was going to visit her in Butte when, after Bucky had died. That was Dan Kelly. We called him Bucky, I guess. I didn't know him, but she had an apartment, and I would go stay with her sometimes, and she would make cinnamon rolls and teach me how, and and she would, when we were really little, she would teach, she would tell us stories called teeny stories, and she would always talk about a little girl named Teeny who was only about this big, and she had teeny little ice skates that were only about this big, and she would skate on a teeny little pond that was about this big. I was fascinated. You know, I loved it.
Do you think that was passed down from Irish?
Could be.
Like a fairy?
We called it teeny stories, yeah. Maybe.
What else did she tell you? I mean, do you remember more of the teeny stories?
Mostly I remember the little ice skating one, because I was just... Kitty, you are being obnoxious. Psst. Yeah, I should put her outside. Yeah, I just mostly remember that ice skating one, but she would tell very many variations on the teeny stories.
Neat.
Describing her
teeny
little coat or teeny...
Does your mom remember those stories?
I don't know.
Oh. Cool. I wonder if other families have the same teeny stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
maybe
never
it does trace
stories.
Back to fairies.
Maybe. Huh.
Good chance.
Okay, so can you think of anything else?
Well, my mom has the stories. When you interview her, you'll get some good stories. I don't feel like I have, you know, I don't have the connection to that generation like she obviously would. And yeah, we still have cousins in Butte and some in Deer Lodge. And
do you get together with them?
Not as much as we used to.
But you did used to.
Mm-hmm. But all my mom's siblings died quite a while ago, so she's been the only one.
Oh.
And so, like, her cousins took her in a lot, you know, like her the ones on the Flynn, Kay Flynn, her kids.
Oh.
Have been, you know, like, more like siblings to her.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. They were the ones that were really into sing-alongs. And
okay.
And actually, my aunt KK, who was the daughter of this Kay Flynn's daughter, KK, who married a Hanrahan, and then now she's married to Jack, whose name I can't think of his last name right now, but I think she still goes by Kay Flynn. Anyway, she still has sing-along parties in Helena.
Oh, really?
She lives right across the street from Hawthorne.
She does, and that's an Irish thing.
I think so.
Kind of. Yeah, I bet it is. Huh.
Yeah.
And so you've gone.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, let's see. Do you have anything else? Because I have one last question that I'm going to ask you. If there's anything else you want to share.
Well, every time, like, recently the Mar statue was redone and yeah, they refurbished it or something, and so they had a grand celebration of that, and our uncle Mike Flynn, who's really my mom's cousin, lives in Seattle now, but he always gets us together for stuff like that, and we had a big celebration at the country club, and we were in the parade, and
oh, neat.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. So there's still some good family connection going on. I wish I was still in touch with Butte more, you know, with that part of my heritage. So actually, this St. Patrick's Day, I might go over there. I've never been there on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, well, that will be an experience.
It's supposed to be a pretty wild time,
yeah.
But
oh.
I'll just be kind of watching from the background.
Yeah.
Pacing myself.
So will you look at any relatives up while you're there?
Well, I was thinking of calling my cousin Emily and see if we could stay with her, because I don't know if I should drive home after that.
So.
Depends on how much I'm talked into imbibing, but.
When in Butte, must do as Butteans do.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I've always wanted to go there for that. And I was there once on the day before St. Patrick's Day, and they were already starting to celebrate, and we got to see some Irish step dancers.
Maybe somebody will teach you some step dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. You took that, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm.
How did you keep up? It just seems so intense.
Well, it's fun. It's great exercise.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it.
And not all of it's that intense.
Are they still teaching it in
mm-hmm.
Missoula?
Yeah. Yeah, that lady's still teaching it.
Did you do it through the university?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a credit?
I did.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Let's see. So,
one more question?
Yeah, I have one more question. If you were to write the history of the Irish in Montana, what would you include for future generations?
What do I see as the most important aspect of it, you mean?
Contributions
or?
Of the Irish in Montana. I think I'm learning myself from this mm-hmm. class that the Irish have really contributed to Montana and Montana's history, which means it affects the future. And I
it feels like in our family, the Irish was kind of played down or, you know, not just not really celebrated that much.
Because they wanted to be Americans, or
maybe
you know,
or it could be because in my mom's family there was a lot of tragic endings or whatever. I haven't really gone into that, but
you don't have to share
yeah.
that if you don't want to.
Well, I want to clear it with mom before I do, but yeah, I don't. I would say the way I want to see it is. I love the closeness of families, but at the same time, in her family, I don't feel like, in some ways, I don't think they were that close, because, well, like, for instance, the children would always sit and have dinner in a different room or at a different time than the parents.
Oh, it was that kind of family.
Yeah.
I wonder if other Irish families were like that, or...
Or if it was because of their... status or social
yeah.
standing in Butte, or I don't know. I don't know that part, but that always seemed kind of strange to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, she grew up with a governess or whatever you want to call a nanny, and they had a cook, and they had a chauffeur and gardener. And
oh, wow. She has a different experience
than a lot of most of the Irish probably in Butte, yeah,
and would be a whole different perspective, which makes the story more whole when it's part of the story. And one thing I wanted to say to you is I understand something about some pain that's hard to talk about, and I don't know any more about it than that, but I wondered, because I know you, if part of this is the reason that you are so loving, because you are really loving.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
really a neat gift to give to the world, Eileen.
Wow, Nancy, thank you.
So, I mean, I just was... do you know that? If that's why you are that way?
I didn't even know I was that way.
You are.
Serious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I get that from Dad, too, though.
You do?
Yeah. That's great. That makes me feel great. Thank you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was... I mean... I think the tragic endings definitely had an effect on me. as well, and you know, it just makes my heart go out to my mom all the more. But she's so stoic and strong, and you know, there's a lot of skeletons in the closet that she might not be willing to share.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of it had to do with alcoholism
and
possibly mental illness, and yeah, people being ashamed to deal with it or get help or, you know, even admit it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the times, I mean, back then. That's the way people dealt with it.
Yeah, by not dealing with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sad but true.
So
yeah, so there's a missing piece there, you know? It's like there's still some mystery going on that she doesn't share. And so as a result, I kind of can be that way too, you know, not knowing. Well, sometimes I say too much, but sometimes I just hold back. And
I suppose you have to find a place where it's, you can trust that that's safe to do that. And there's a good reason for that.
Right. Well, and you, I totally feel comfortable sharing stuff with, but I don't know if my mom would want me to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and for this menu. Yeah. So anyway, should we turn the tape on?
Sure.
Okay.